Shalom, shalom. Oh, sorry. Shalom, shalom, and welcome to another Hebraic Journey Through the Bible broadcast. My name, of course, is John Wesley, and for the next 30 minutes, I'll be one of your cohort hosts. Boy, that's hard to say. I am a Messianic pastor, and our quest is to unravel the Hebraic truths hidden deep within the New Testament scriptures of our faith, which answer the perplexing questions that tend to hinder our spiritual relationship with our Heavenly Father, and of course, our Savior Yeshua, or Jesus. At this time, I would like to introduce the other half of our co-host minister, Tanita Jones. And then after that, I'll go ahead and start us off with prayer and just have her lead us into an overview of where we've been and the questions that are still yet to be answered.
Hello, and welcome, everyone. This is our fourth show, and, of course, we will continue with salvation. It is great to, it is a blessing to be share as co-host on the show of Ask Messianic Rabbi, dealing with the truth of the Word of God. Thank you, Rabbi.
You're welcome. Thank you. And I'm going to go ahead and start us off with prayer. Well, Father, right now in the name of Yeshua, first of all, giving you thanks and praise and asking forgiveness for any sin, iniquity, or transgression, and also asking your strength, your power, to forgive those who have sinned against us, to cause iniquity and transgression against us. Father, we ask you to give us the strength and the ability to forgive them and not hold it to their charge. But, Father, every word, every spiritual word that was spoken against us as a curse or just as a negative affirmation, Father, we cast those words down right now. And we thank you, Father, for the power to do so in Yahushua's name, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, Minister Tanita, I've got a praise report that I wanted to give right quick, and only you would appreciate it the most. Our dog, our little puppy that's bigger than our bigger dog now, has finally conquered the fear of going downstairs. So now he goes downstairs to grab the bones that our older dog used to take both bones down and just antagonize him, you know, because he knew he couldn't go downstairs. So now is downstairs, and he's saying, no longer will you take my bone and antagonize me. So with that, I'm going to pass it to you, Mr. Tanita Jones.
Thank you. Yes, and you know I appreciate that. I love dogs. I love God's creation. And so, we were dealing with salvation, the definition of salvation as a summary of the show, what the meaning of it was, and, you know, of course, dealing with the Hebraic viewpoint. Last week, we were talking about more specifically the verse that was dealing with the friend in Matthew chapter 22, verses 10 through 14. And you were being very specific about what it meant to the outer darkness, the outer darkness,
okay,
what that meant, as well as understanding that as a friend, he didn't understand the purpose of dressing in that garment. And so you were giving us
right.
a Hebraic perspective of that. And, of course, all of this is still continuing with salvation. And you also were beginning to address the reason why the outer darkness wasn't like Sheol or hell, but it's not in the portion of it's like the new earth, but not going to New Jerusalem or the new heaven. And so that's what
right.
You were at the very end.
Okay. All right, so we'll pick it up right from there. Excuse me. We'll pick it up from there. Okay, and I want to try to bring a little bit more closure, but a little bit more clarity to what I shared last time pertaining to the new heaven, new earth, and new Jerusalem. Because oftentimes, and I'm sure we've got some eschatological scholars out there that know that the new earth, new heaven, and new Jerusalem is what happens in the very end of the book. Basically, you know how us individuals that get impatient when we read a book, you know, we want to find out, okay, well, did the main character die, or did he not die, or did she, you know, marry the guy, or did she not marry the guy, and that type of thing. So I want to bring a little bit of clarity to the latter part, okay? Because the latter part is the new heaven, the new earth, and Jerusalem, and that is absolutely correct. When we read in Scripture pertaining to Matthew chapter 7, as well as Matthew chapter 22, in Matthew chapter 22, verses 21, not verse 21, excuse me, verse 20, verse 12 through 14, we're talking about, and we were talking about a gentleman that knew that he was supposed to put on a wedding garment, but chose not to, knew that it didn't cost him anything, knew that it was a requirement for the wedding feast, but did not want to or desire to put on the apparel. Now, that apparel is more than just a specific type of garment that would use for that particular ceremony. Because when Yeshua was speaking in parables, in every case, there's not one case where he wasn't giving spiritual truths and just trying to bring it down to a level to where everyone, depending upon where they were, could begin to grasp and understand some of that. Okay, so it is a spiritual manifestation of a metaphor or a truth that is trying to be shared by Yeshua to those who have ears to hear. Okay, so with that being said, this gentleman knew, okay, going back to that aspect, he knew that he was supposed to wear it, chose not to wear it, and was called a friend. Now, earlier we talked about the heathen servant, friend, and bride. So he was being selected as a bride. He was being selected at the highest level that the Father would ever desire to give anyone, and that is to wed his son. Okay? Now, and we all know that there is a special place that his son has prepared for those who are the brides. For that church without spot or blemish, which would also qualify as the bride. So, with that being said, this gentleman had that opportunity, but chose not to fulfill the obligation that was necessary. Mm-hmm. So, in doing so, he does not receive the highest level of blessing that the Father would give to us, and that is as wife or bride to his son, which would also mean that he or she would be considered, okay, the bride that is in New Jerusalem. That's the only individuals that can go into New Jerusalem. A friend, a servant, definitely not a heathen, will not have that opportunity to go into New Jerusalem, okay? Well, with that being said, it's imperative to understand that this is what Yeshua is coming back for. And we had also had mentioned pertaining to the rapture that this is whom is going to be raptured. Now, a part of that salvation piece is the lordship piece. In the Hebraic gospel, we don't separate the salvation piece and the lordship piece, although we know they're totally different entities. We don't separate them when we give the gospel out. In the Christian gospel, there is a total separation in theology as well as in operation in the manner in which they share the gospel. The gospel primarily to them is the salvation piece, saving you from hell. But we have to make sure we understand Hebraically, the way the Bible has been written, it was always inclusive, not exclusive. When I say it, I'm talking about the salvation piece and the lordship piece or the bridalship piece. So hopefully that has cleared up a little bit of what I was referring to pertaining to this gentleman.
Yeah.
And I'll pass it back to you.
You also say that those, because they were a friend, you were also saying that those that have been baptized in the Holy Spirit will be raptured, but only those who are water baptized or water baptism will be a bride. And we call it being mikvah in his name. And so would they, even though we know that you say the brides are only the ones that will have access to New Jerusalem, would they also be the bride, the only one that would have access to new heaven? Because we know the new heaven is being in the presence of the Father at that point. So are those that are allowed, that are friends and servants allowed in the new heavens, or is it you want those that are allowed in the new Jerusalem are also the only ones allowed in the new heaven?
I see what you're saying. All right, now keep in mind the heavens are, like in the natural, the heavens are withhold universes.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, so in the spiritual, from the spiritual sense, from the new heavens, they're going to have new universes, if you understand what I'm saying. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
So there will be access with the friend to those areas. Okay. But
okay.
To be where Yah resides, where he lives, where he's enthroned, where all of the glory and all of the power, you know, is where every son of God wants to be, and every
mm-hmm.
every created thing wants to be.
Mm-hmm.
They won't have access
yeah.
to that, you know. And then when and it goes back again, and I'll just say this again, just because it's a it's good to. To reinstate the same point in a different manner, just to get a better glimpse of the full totality of that concept that you're trying to that we're trying to imply here, and that is that being away from God or being outside of the New Jerusalem is like darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
right.
It is not the fiery furnace or the lake of fire or any of that. Okay, that has
mm-hmm.
a specific purpose. And
mm-hmm.
it is known and understood. But the gnashing of teeth, okay, is because the individuals knew or had an understanding or an opportunity to be brides and
yes.
lost that opportunity. That's
yeah.
the gnashing of teeth. Now, remember, the gnashing of teeth is not where the person is being tormented or sent into hell. It's where it's a metaphor. It's a Hebraic metaphor for an individual that lost their chance, lost their opportunity, and are
right.
having to live with that. Okay, so it's imperative that we get these metaphors together and understand them so that we don't mix and match and think, oh well, gnashing of teeth, he's got to be in hell. No, no, that's not hell.
Right.
Okay. Hell,
right.
hell is torment. it's going to be more than
right.
gnashing of teeth that you're going to be doing. But anyway, I just felt that it was important to share that. Okay. Back to you.
Yes. Thank you. And so, because you've also stated that there are different categories of servants, can you explain the difference in the friend and the servant for those that may not understand? And from what I understand, servant are those that have been saved from hell because they received salvation, but they may
correct.
Not necessarily have gone further as far as being baptized with the Holy Spirit or mixed with or water baptized in his name, but a friend could have done either or. So can you go into some details about the difference between the servant and the friend for our audience?
Sure can. I'll give a little bit of a Old Testament historical aspect
okay.
with Joseph. Joseph
mm-hmm.
Joseph became a servant at Potiphar's
mm-hmm.
house, and then I'll give biblical New Testament scriptures to back this up. But Joseph
okay.
became a servant, you know, at the lowest level.
Yeah.
At Potiphar's house. Okay. Excuse me. Then, as Joseph showed himself to be more than just a servant, in wisdom and in knowledge and in understanding, that within itself, which he had received from walking in a relationship with God, okay, and understanding God's ways, promoted him to becoming the number one person in Potiphar's house. Even to the point before he was stopped by Potiphar's wife, he was becoming a very, very close friend of Potiphar. As a matter of fact, Potiphar gave him a signet ring that with that ring, the only thing that he And he even said this, he being Joseph, said this to Potiphar's wife. But the only thing that he had withheld from him out of all that he mm-hmm. owned was his wife. Okay?
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Excuse me. So he went from a servant to a friend. But he went
okay.
there based upon his relationship with Yah, his relationship with God. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And as he began to fulfill those attributes and characteristics that please God, God gave him the ability to be promoted from a servant to the highest level of a servant, and was on his way to being one of the closest friends that Potiphar ever had. Okay? Now, how does that interrelate with the question that you asked? All right, let's break that down. All right, when we go to John chapter 15, verses 14 and 15, and I'd like for you to read that.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, I'm there.
Okay. All right. Before you get ready to read it, one of the things that I want to point out, okay, is that in verse 14,
mm-hmm.
it's going to discuss how Yeshua considers his attributes and characteristics of and description of what a friend is. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
In verse 14. Then because he's talking to his disciples, he's going to begin to talk to or begin to explain to them exactly what the Father God, his requirements of what a friend is. Okay, and that's important to understand because Yeshua has different qualifications that he has placed upon his disciples than what the Father has placed upon the world. Okay?
Okay,
I'm going to say that again. Yeshua, or Jesus, has different qualifications of what he, Yeshua himself, considers his friend, different than what the Father considers a friend from the complete aspect of the world. So go ahead and read that, and you'll begin to see that difference. Okay? Go ahead.
Okay. Okay, you are friends if you do whatever I command you.
Okay,
no,
this is Jesus. This is Yeshua speaking.
Yes, to his disciples in this. John 15, verse 14, and now 15, verse 15. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you.
Okay, so his Father gave him a command to make it known to them so that they could be friends from the Father's perspective. From Yeshua's perspective, once he tells you something, he expects you to do what he says. If you don't do what Yeshua says, then Yeshua, not the Father, Yeshua
mm-hmm.
does not consider you his friend or his close friend, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So we've got two definitions with an understanding of what a friend is, first from the Father and then from the Son. Okay. Now, a servant is also described in there. So a servant is one who doesn't know what the master desires and only understands the secrets of the master if it is revealed to him or her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But the servant is in the house, just like Joseph was saved from, when I say saved, I mean he was saved in the sense by being selected by Potiphar to be one of his menial servants.
Yes.
So he was saved from having to fend for himself and having to deal with the elements in different situations there in Egypt because he went to a very royal, very aristocratic individual's home. So even as the lowest servant, he was still faring better in the way that he was kept and taken care of and all of that than if he were out to fend for himself in Egypt. Okay? So in that same manner, in that same way, you could look at it from an aspect of Moses taking the people out of Egypt
mm-hmm.
during Passover, during Pesach, okay? when the blood went over the mantle of the doorpost, the lintel, not mantle, but lintel of the doorpost.
Mm-hmm.
When that happened, they were saved from utter destruction. That utter destruction for the firstborn was hell. The end result was not just death naturally, but it was also death spiritually. It was also going to hell. Okay?
Wow.
Or to Sheol. Mm-hmm. Sheol. So with that understanding, they still had not gotten over to the promised land yet, because
mm-hmm.
the goal was not to save them from the death angel. The goal was to get them, with all of the different aspects of the process, to get them to the promised land. That was the goal. We know
okay.
that a few of them, quite a few, did not make it all the way through the journey.
That's
because,
right. mm-hmm.
because they did not follow the instructions. They did not submit to the authority. They did not become a total friend, nor were they walking upright before him.
Right.
Servant friend has that diaposing definition that we have to make sure we understand. A servant is the first process of being saved from something.
Right.
When we, according to Romans chapter 10, and this is familiar scripture for a lot of people, Romans
mm-hmm.
chapter 10, verses 8 and 9 and 10, talks about being saved by confession, verbal
yes.
confession.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. So with that verbal confession, we know that we are being saved from something, from a punishment, from a hell that belongs to us.
Yes.
That
right.
if that is the fulfillment of the servant aspect. Because
mm-hmm.
now you're as in the same way that you're in Potiphar's not Potiphar's house from a standpoint of spiritual, but from a standpoint of natural, you're saved from the elements. So now you have the ability to continue the relationship. As a friend, the Father will begin to speak to you pertaining to, like
mm-hmm.
what you've already shared, pertaining to water baptism for the children of Israel. That water baptism that they went was symbolic, and that was a symbolic water baptism that happened by going through the Red Sea. And we know that after going through the Red Sea, their captors followed them in the natural and were destroyed.
That's right.
In water
mm-hmm.
baptism, okay, we are freed from our spiritual captors. We're freed from the demonic realm and freed from the demonic spirits that would try to hinder and try to keep us captive and keep us bound. I've
yes.
often shared a story with individuals pertaining to an individual that we knew, and
mm-hmm.
they were in a demonic state. They were connected with the realm, and one of the satanic priests, warlock,
mm-hmm.
Wanted to have his member back, and it went to the pastor where the member was going to the congregation, and entered unannounced, uninvited, entered into the pastor's study, and told the pastor that he wanted his member from his, you know,
mm-hmm.
from his, you know, covet. He wanted that person back. Then stopped and said, first of all, I want to know this. Was the person ever baptized in water? And the pastor said yes.
Wow.
Right after the pastor said yes, this satanic priest immediately got up and walked out and was never seen again. And the reason for that was because that satanic priest knew very well that
mm-hmm.
any ownership of that person was broken by the blood of Yeshua.
Amen.
And that every diabolical assignment and curse that was set to take that person to a devil's hell was broken
yes.
as well. So that is one of the aspects that you shared with me already pertaining to the makeup of a friend is
yes.
water baptism. The other makeup of a friend is receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And once one receives the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that too begins to break yokes and assignments and prepares them for being a bride. And it's the invite, if you will. It's the invitation that opens the portal to allow them to be raptured. Okay? So I'm going to give you two scriptures. One pertaining to the rapture portion and
okay.
two pertaining to the baptism portion that allows one to know and understand the importance of these two functions. Okay?
Okay.
All right. One of them is in Matthew chapter 3. And we'll start at verse 7, and I think it's like 7, 8, 9, 10, up in that area, is where
okay.
John the Baptist is going to say, okay?
Okay.
Well, he's actually
Matthew
going to retort to chapter 3, start in verse 7. It's where John the Baptist has an encounter with the Pharisees and Sadducees, and he looks at them, and he's like, who, basically he's saying to them, who warned you to flee
right.
the wrath? Now, we know that the wrath is coming to those of disobedience. We know that the wrath is coming to those in the greater tribulation, the latter part of the greater tribulation.
That's right.
So
mm-hmm.
he was saying to them, who has warned you? Who told you the secret of the power of the water baptism in assuring that you will not have that appointment of the wrath?
Yes.
That is going to be found in the Great Tribulation. In other words, who told
Amen.
You to, here to come get baptized so that you can be freed from that? Go ahead and read.
Right. Okay. So Matthew chapter 3, of course, New King James Version, starting at 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them,
mm-hmm.
broad vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruit worthy of repentance. And do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones.
Amen.
You want me to
so
read verse 10?
What he's saying to that's fine. That's fine. What he's saying to them is, I will not baptize you unless you have truly confessed your sin.
Amen.
I will not baptize you unless you go through the salvation piece. And a part of the
mm-hmm.
salvation piece is knowing that you are a sinner, knowing that your deeds are sinful, knowing that, you know, that a Savior, Yeshua, is the one that will save you. It's
yes.
the only one that can save you. Okay?
Amen.
So he was literally saying to them, I know that you're not going to accept Yeshua.
Right.
And I know
mm-hmm.
that that someone has talked to you about this, but I will not execute, you know, the great commission that I have on you because you mm-hmm. don't have a sincere heart to be saved to begin with. Does that make
Amen.
Sense?
Yes.
But
so we have 90
yeah,
seconds.
But it lets us mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So that lets us see and lets us understand. Okay, the last one, and then I'll pass it to you to close us out. Okay, the last one is Romans chapter 8, verses 9 and 10. Romans chapter 8, verses 9 and 10. And Romans chapter 8, verses 9 and 10, and we'll close with this. This is where the Father God begins to let us know that we will be raptured. We'll be quickened is the word that they use there.
Yes.
And it's the same word that is used with Yeshua. In other words, he gives a similarity. He says, just like Yeshua was quickened out of the grave, we will be quickened. Go ahead and read.
Yes. Okay, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. And that's Romans chapter 8, verse 9.
Okay, go to the next
one.
Yeah. All right, go to 11.
Spirit, Okay. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you.
Okay. And in that, in her translation, it says give life, but in other translations, it says quicken. And that quicken is the same concept of what happened with Yeshua. Yeshua's body was quickened. When they went into the tomb, there was no body there because he was raptured. He was caught up. Okay? It's the same type of rapturing or catching up that will happen to us. And I'll pass it to you, Minister Tanita, to go ahead and close us out and just give individuals an opportunity to know a little bit more about us.
Yes. Well, thank you, and of course, this was a continuation of our salvation piece of the show. The show is held weekly on Thursdays at 6 p.m., and of course, the ministry is Beth Hashem Ministries. We have the website for Beth Hashem Ministries is Beth Hashem, www.bethhashem.org, and that is www.bethhashem.org. We have a Facebook page, which is also www.facebook.com/Beth Hashem Ministries. And if you would like to attend the services, if you could email us at BethHashem@yahoo.com, that is BethHashem@yahoo.com for directions. And we just want to thank you for attending the show, and I'll hand it back over to you, Rabbi, for closing. A fountain prayer.
Oh, okay, fantastic. All right. I pray that this has been a blessing to you, and we just say, Father, right now in the name of Yeshua, that every word that we say, we desire it to be according to your will and according to your word, Father. We desire not any of what has been shared to be anything that we have concocted or that we have given our interpretation, but Father, it allow be the interpretation pertaining to your word given by the Holy Spirit. Father, we ask that each and every person become Bereans right now and to really begin to search the scriptures for themselves to see if, one, if these things be true, and two, if these things are what you, Yah, are calling them to walk into and to be a part of in their life for a more intimate relationship. In Yeshua's name, amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you and good night.